Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. We open the New Testament again to the letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. My friends, it was the 30th day of October, 1517, giving one or more lectures in the halls of Wittenberg University and chatting with students in the courtyard of those venerable buildings, Dr. Martin Luther returned to his study to put finishing touches to those 95 theses he would post on the castle church door midday on the morrow. Those theses would engage the world in debate. Yes, theologians, prelates, and even the papacy. You see, indulgences were sold in the streets of German cities, making relief from punishment for sin in purgatory available for a price in the currency of the day. This effrontery to the gospel Luther challenged in his 95 theses. Noteworthy is Theses 62, which reads, "The true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God." Dr. Luther was declaring to the world that he was not ashamed of the gospel that sets hearts free from indulgences and purgatory, free from sins and death, and even free from hell itself. But soon the debate began. John Tetzel, the theologian Eck, and the bishop Albert of Mainz took Luther on. The debate soon expanded beyond indulgences to grace and faith and works and freedom, the Mass, the scriptures versus tradition, and the authority of the Pope, to name a few topics. Now Luther was embroiled in conflict, and at every turn, the gospel was at stake. And the reformer demonstrated flint. His opponents turned to rage. With papal blessing, they excommunicated him, they burned his writings, they banned him from the empire, and they forced him into long years of exile. But through it all, Luther remained bold, courageous, unashamed of the gospel of Christ. How could Luther be so bold and daring for the gospel? How can we be bold and daring as he? Martin Luther valued highly his mentor from the first century, the Apostle Paul. And a bit of Paul's life, as he was writing the letter to the Romans, might be of interest to us this Reformation weekend. It had been long the apostle's desire and ambition to go to Rome and preach the gospel of Christ there. "I must see Rome," had been his determination. And yet some apparently said that Paul was reluctant or afraid to go to Rome. Paul had preached the gospel in Tarsus, where he was born, in Jerusalem, the world's holy city, in Damascus, the world's oldest city, in Antioch, the golden city on the Orontes, in Ephesus, where stood the temple of Diana, in Athens, the city of the mind and the home of the philosophers. He had preached everywhere, it seems, but he had not brought the gospel to Rome. Was he hesitant to preach at Rome, the mighty capital city, with its grandeur, its cruelty, its wickedness, its superstition, its sophistication, its pomp, its power? Paul allays any and all misunderstanding when he makes this bold affirmation. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He said, in effect, you talk to me about Rome, and well do I know the power of Rome. I am a citizen of Rome. I have walked over Rome's highways, and everywhere I have seen the dust of marching legions carrying out the commands of the emperor. I know the power of Rome, but I know a power greater than Rome, and that is the power of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. The apostle could be so very certain of the gospel's power because it was by that power he himself was set apart as an apostle for the gospel of God. Talk about power. The gospel is God's thing, promised of God, given by God beforehand in God's scriptures. It is the gospel concerning his Son, he who of the flesh of David is true man but divine, the God-man designated to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection according to the Spirit of holiness. I shall not be ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, because I cannot be ashamed of him whom it proclaims, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whether or not we need in the 20th century a reformation akin to that reformation in the 16th century, others may discuss and debate. What we do need in the church today is a new and soul-refreshing confidence in the power of the gospel. Martin Luther had such confidence in that power. He explains that in spite of the veil long separating between the people and Christ for centuries in the church, the tapestry of works and merit, veneration of Mary and the saints, pilgrimages, and all such novelties invented by the schoolmen, still, says Luther, by the gospel's power, many children and youth had died in Christ. For even under Antichrist, says Luther, Christ has with might preserved baptism, the bare text of the gospel in the pulpit, the Lord's Prayer, and the Creed, and so preserved many of his Christians, and thus preserved his church. So great was Luther's confidence in the power of the gospel. A second reason for both St. Paul and Luther to be bold in the gospel is cited by the verse following our text, verse 17 of Romans chapter 1, when it says that in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. I shall not be ashamed of a God, though he set our iniquities before him and expose our secret sins in the light of his countenance, as the psalmist says, still, he is a God who is steadfast in his love to send his Son to stand in our place before his holiness, and for Jesus' sake accounts the likes of you and me, poor sinners we are, righteous before his holiness. I might be ashamed of some cheap forgiveness that compromised the holiness of God, but never can I be ashamed of the Savior who is the just for the unjust, who on the cross died and won for me forgiveness of sins, who presents me to God justified with nary a spot or stain, faultless before the holy God. I shall to my dying day ever embrace that gospel which St. Paul and the ancient prophet Habakkuk before him articulated, "He who through faith is righteous shall live." This gospel, I know, is not for me only, but in all its power unto salvation, it is a gospel for all. For the Jew by precedence, but surely not by preference, for this gospel embraces the Greek and the Gentile as well. I could be ashamed of a gospel that was narrowly exclusive, that was for the privileged few, a gospel for some and not for others, a gospel that served the prejudices of sinful man. Of that kind of gospel, I would surely be ashamed. But I shall not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for all, and his gospel is universal for one and for all. I don't know about you. I could never be ashamed of the gospel that makes me eager for preaching. Dr. Luther would not have a calling as a theologian or as a professor or a churchman, except that he also had the opportunity to preach in the churches of the land on the Lord's Day, because the gospel made preaching such a delight for Luther. Preaching is not just having something to say. Preaching is everything, because a man has from God his gospel of Christ to tell the world. That's what preaching is about. And, brethren, the gospel reveals God's glory. Indeed, the glory of his deity. As Dr. Luther reminds us in his commentary on the Galatians, should ever our works, even our so-called pious works in the profession of the holy ministry, ever be the glory, we should verily rob God of his glory. And therefore, we append to our writings, sermons, articles, books, papers, that little saying, "Soli Deo Gloria." To God alone be the glory. Our works are nothing except they be presented in Christ to God, whom we openly glorify in the gospel that reveals his glory. Oh, precious gospel, the power to convert, regenerate, the Spirit's power to gather the church and build congregations, the power to keep the people in their most holy Christian faith through thick and thin unto their dying breath. In this age, the gospel anticipating the glories of heaven in a new age, such a gospel is powerful to make us optimistic, bold, and courageous sons and daughters of the Reformation. soli Deo Gloria. Amen.